Venerable Geshe says, if our mind is peaceful, which is what the function of meditation is, the function of meditation is to make our mind calm and peaceful. That's what it's for. That's what it does. If our mind is peaceful, free from worries and mental discomfort, we will experience true happiness. And later on he says, as we train in meditation and our mind becomes more and more peaceful, we experience purer and purer forms of happiness. This is a big point, because we all want to be happy. And however busy we are in our day, we do make a point of trying to seek out the things that we believe will make us happy. We find time, even if there's no time, we find time for whatever it is our mind thinks is where we're going to find happiness. Even if, time and time again, we've shown that actually there's not much happiness from there. What this is indicating is that there is perhaps a different caliber of happiness than what we have previously understood there to be. Because normally when we think of happiness, or when we pursue happiness, it's very much about getting happiness from something. You know, a pleasant conversation, wonderful. A delicious meal, fantastic. An entertaining, engaging, immersive, perhaps inspiring piece of film, theater, music, whatever it might be. There's a sense that for my happiness, I need something. And while, of course, we enjoy those things, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying those things, if our plan for the happy life that we want to live is to string together as many of those moments as we can, nice food, nice conversation, nice evening, nice party, nice this, nice that, nice view, nice sunset, nice sleep, nice, we're selling ourselves short. And possibly undermining the happiness that we're capable of. Because whilst the enjoyment we get from those things can be wonderful, it's quite fragile and quite superficial compared to the happiness that we're capable of enjoying. Fragile because what would it take to ruin a night out? You know, maybe we organize all of our favorite people to go to our favorite restaurant. Not that we can do this much at the moment, but, you know, coming soon, hopefully, we'll be back to some version of normal, whatever that is. And we'll be able to congregate and gather. And I'm sure, you know, at the end of this sort of strange, unusual experience of the pandemic, or as we approach some form of resolution, hopefully, then there will be a lot of celebration. We will be reuniting with our family. And it will be wonderful to have those encounters, of course. But the happiness we get from those things is quite fragile. Because even if we've managed to assemble our favorite people in our favorite restaurant, they're playing our favorite music, they've served us our favorite food, it's even our favorite topic of conversation, how great we are, all of these difficult to organize things, what would it take to ruin the evening? Not very much at all. Maybe someone at a table nearby speaking loudly about opinions that we find offensive. You know, maybe a hair where we didn't want to find a hair. Maybe phone call with some bad news. Doesn't take much, and then all of the enjoyment just vanishes. It's not strong. It's not reliable. And even if nothing goes wrong, and I hope generally nothing goes wrong, quite quickly it just becomes nostalgia, like a memory. Do you remember that wonderful evening? Oh, we must do that again. And that we're chasing it and we're trying to recreate it because it's not nourishing us still. It's just a memory. I wish I was there. Even like that. It's fragile, fleeting, and it's not nearly as deep as the happiness we're capable of. Because of course, real deep happiness is going to be coming from inside, not from outside, not dependent on other people and other things and vulnerable to changing circumstances, but a rich, deep happiness that's bubbling up from inside, that's with us wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever situation we encounter. That happiness, that's a happiness we can develop through meditation, a happiness from within, through meditation. Venerable Geshe continues, usually we find it difficult to control our mind. It seems as if our mind is like a balloon in the wind, blown here and there by external circumstances. If things go well, our mind is happy. But if they go badly, it immediately becomes unhappy. For example, if we get what we want, such as a new possession, a new position, or a new partner, we become excited and cling to them tightly. However, since we cannot have everything we want, and since we will inevitably be separated from the friends, positions and possessions we currently enjoy, this mental stickiness or attachment serves only to cause us pain. On the other hand, if we do not get what we want, or if we lose something that we like, we become despondent or irritated. For example, if we are forced to work with a colleague whom we dislike, we will probably become irritated and feel aggrieved, with the result that we will be unable to work with him or her efficiently, and our time at work will become stressful and unrewarding. So I would doubt there's any one of us that isn't very familiar with this experience. This maybe just seems like a description of life, isn't it? When things go well, we get happy. And when things go wrong, we get unhappy. And we're like a balloon in the wind. It's like we have no freedom over our happiness. We have no say. It's almost like we have no say. We're just a victim of circumstance. We're so utterly vulnerable to what happens around us, over which we have no control. Through meditation, our happiness isn't going to be predicated on the outside. It isn't going to depend upon the circumstances around us, because it's going to be something that we've grown within. And so the happiness we will enjoy, as well as, of course, enjoying the happiness of meals and company and good friends and so forth, as well as that surface level happiness, there will be this richer, deeper, better caliber of happiness that's just bubbling up naturally from our mind all the time because of meditation.